Hi, I'm Mike Dilk and you're listening to the Relax Back UK show, the show that explores all kinds of health topics relevant to you, your family and your friends. Each week I talk to expert guests from a range of backgrounds to inform and entertain you. So please do join the Relax Back UK family and stay tuned.
Hi and thank you for joining me on the Relax Back UK show. This week I chat with dietitian Vicky Pennington about some of the crazy nutrition advice that you can come across on social media.
Another one I've come across over the years that keeps popping up is the grapefruit diet, where people think that helps you burn fat. It's a really restrictive way of eating and it can interfere with certain medicines as well. So again, not a good idea.
We also touch on supplements, how to make the best use of pharmacists and much else. So please do stay tuned for a great show. But before we start, I was sent some beer, actually some free beer, by a guest on the show, Professor Dave Nutt of Centia. And he's developed some non-alcoholic drinks that produce a similar relaxing effect to alcohol. I tried them and the taste, actually, I do love beer, and the taste of his beer was pretty good, and it also gave me a similar feeling to alcohol. So, yeah, it was a thumbs up from me. So, thank you very much, Professor Dave Nutt.
This show is cool!
I really did enjoy my chat with Vicky Pennington. We covered all kinds of topics, but the first question I asked her was, what is the difference between a nutritionist and a dietitian?
That's a really good place to start, because you're right, it's important that you're getting your information on your health and wellness from a trusted source. I'm actually kind of both of those. I'm a registered dietitian, and at Boots I call myself nutritionist, and I guess the two are very, very similar. To explain the difference, I guess a registered dietitian is actually a legally protected title. It means you're a healthcare professional and you've kind of taken a degree that's accredited in dietetics. A nutritionist is similar, but it's not a protected legal title like dietitian. So to kind of simplify that even more, I guess the bottom line is, if you're looking for trusted advice, you want that to come from either a registered dietitian or a registered nutritionist, because nutritionists can also be regulated by something called the Association for Nutrition.
Okay. So effectively, I could call myself a nutritionist and charge people for my advice this afternoon if I wanted to. And I wouldn't be breaking any laws.
Unfortunately, yes, that's the case. So I'd always look for someone who's on a professional register, whether it's the it's what's called the Healthcare and Professions Council Register for Dietitians, or the Register of Nutritionists with the Association for Nutrition. So yeah, if you want to check my credentials, you'll find me there.
So you're okay. Are you on the Association for Nutrition or just the
I'm a dietitian.
One?
Yeah, right. I'm a dietitian. I'm a healthcare professional.
Very good. All right. So that's important. I think people should remember that. So let's park that to one side and get on to the topic of, you know, just how many people might be getting information, and sort of odd information, sometimes crazy information, sometimes dangerous information from online sources. And the first thing, which is a bit of an unfair question, so I'm not sure I'll ask it, because I did a bit of Googling before we chat, just try and get a handle on how many people might get, just medical information online rather from their GP or, you know, from a health professional rather. And that's all kind of health, not just nutrition type advice. And obviously that's very difficult to find out, but I did a quick Google, and came up with a figure of 30% of people saying they'd be willing to consult AI or social media than wait to see a medical person. So, I mean, that's a massive number. I can't really tell you exactly where that source came from, because that was just through me Googling. But either way, I'm sure an awful lot of people are doing that just now. Does that kind of surprise you or fill you with dread?
It's a kind of mix of both, really. I guess I would have probably expected the number to be even higher, but it does fill me with dread because it's kind of a bit like the Wild West out there on social media. You know, you don't know whether information you're seeing is from a credible source. And I guess there are so many crazy trends and, I think it is worrying.
It is kind of interesting there, because you could also turn it round and say, actually, maybe it's a good thing that people are taking an interest in their own health. You know, that's one potential argument.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I mean, it is good. And people, I think, are, you know, very, very interested in taking care of their health and well-being. Sometimes they don't know where to start. So maybe that's, you know, why they're looking on their social media feeds. And I guess getting information that appears to be personalised and tailored to them. I mean, we've got our own statistics around things like supplementation, where we see that, you know, people are taking supplements and yet they don't really know why they're taking them. So, you know, this is all a little bit concerning.
Well, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people, well, almost all people that take supplements kind of self-prescribe.
Indeed, yes. I guess it's sort of, for me, the fundamental principle, I suppose, as a dietitian is you look to food first. But we know the reality that probably less than 1% of us in the UK actually achieve the healthy eating recommendations. So when you're looking at sort of how can I fill the gaps in my diet, I think that's something that's really important to everyone. And then you kind of overlay that with like life stage, you know, in pregnancy, you might need certain supplements, or you're aware of the need for vitamin D in the winter, etc. So, yeah, it is complicated.
So let me ask you an unfair question, but an easy one. What did you have for breakfast?
My breakfast was really early this morning. I'm laughing because it had to be something I could eat really quickly. So I actually had some kefir yogurt. So I thought I did quite well, really, in the time available.
Full marks for that one. Yeah, I had Alpen, which probably has, I must admit, I've never looked at the ingredients of Alpen, but it's probably got some stuff in that you wouldn't find on your shelves normally in the kitchen.
There's a no added sugar version.
Yeah, that's the one I've got. That's the one I've got.
Good.
So
very good.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a halo above me, but not as big as yours, I don't think, at the minute. As far as your kefir goes, I can't compete with that. But on to what kind of things that appear online and might pop up while we're, you know, surfing the internet and that kind of stuff. What are some of the sort of crazy things that you've seen?
There's,
as far as nutrition really advice goes,
there are some crazy things out there. I mean, from my perspective, this time of year, January, you know, people are looking at their resolutions and trying to sort of have a bit of a lifestyle reset. Perhaps they're trying to lose weight. It's certainly the time of year when you get really weird and wonderful diets. Looking back, and I've been a nutritionist for many years, but I think one of the strangest ones I saw was the baby food diet. Now, I've worked with baby food and I think it's great for babies, but I don't know why adults would want to be restricting their diet in that way. And then recently, I think there's been interesting things like cortisol cocktails. So I looked into that.
What is a cortisol cocktail?
Well, I think people are trying to support their body's response to stress. And this cocktail of orange juice, coconut water, and a pinch of salt apparently is supposed to help reduce the stress that you're feeling. Needless to say, there's absolutely no evidence that that would be of any benefit.
Yeah. I like evidence, peer-reviewed published papers, that kind of thing on this
absolutely
show.
Absolutely. Yes, that's my world too.
Yeah, good. I did a little, again, another little Google search. I said, this was ChatGPT. I said, give me 10 of the oddest nutrition advice you've seen on social media. So I'll read a couple of them and see if you've come across them. You should eat according to your blood type. Have you ever heard of that?
No. I mean, I've heard of it, but I don't think it's a good idea.
My first thought was that's utter rubbish, not just utter rubbish.
It's what you find, there's lots of very elaborate ways, I think, of getting people ultimately to restrict what they eat. And whether it's, blood type could be one of them. Another one I've come across over the years that keeps popping up is the grapefruit diet, where people think that helps you burn fat. It's a really restrictive way of eating, and it can interfere with certain medicines as well. So again, not a good idea.
Another one I came across, you can heal gut issues by eating only meat. So the carnivore diet.
Oh, wow. Well, I would say that's probably going in really the wrong direction, because actually we know that our gut is home to like trillions of bacteria. You've probably heard of the gut microbiome.
Yeah.
And those bacteria are what we believe are important in keeping the gut healthy. And they feed on fiber, so plant-based foods, not meat. So I don't think a carnivore diet would be overly balanced and helpful to the gut.
No. And apart from anything else, eating just meat all the time, that's just not very, palatable. It's nice occasionally.
Yeah, it wouldn't be balanced. It wouldn't give you the broad range of nutrients you need from getting a healthy, balanced diet. Yes, it can include meat, but it shouldn't be solely meat.
Yeah. Let me just mention one more to you, which I've seen this one a bit more often, I think, actually. Fruit is basically sugar and should be avoided.
That's quite a bit more nuanced, I suppose, because I guess fruit, when we talk about the importance of having your five or at least five fruit and vegetables a day, so generally you would consider fruit to be a good thing. But it does contain natural sugars, that's true. And I think it's when, if you're having intact fruit, like a piece of fruit, that's fine, because you're getting the sugar, you're getting the fiber, you're getting all the other vitamins and minerals that are in fruit. I wouldn't say that fruit is a bad thing at all. It's actually very good for you. But yes, there are sugars in there and they are natural, but in a piece of fruit, they're actually protected, as part of the fibre in the cells, etc.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, Mum and Dad,
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We've demonstrated there is lots of crazy sounding advice out there. But can any of this stuff, you know, be dangerous, deleterious to your health?
Yes, it can be. I think people can unwittingly be following ill-advised advice. You know, as I mentioned, some diets that could affect medicines, they're not necessarily encouraging a balanced way of eating, where really you need a wide variety of foods. And I do feel concerned for, you know, people who perhaps have more disordered eating, that again you can kind of latch onto some of these ideas and they're not healthy in the long term.
Absolutely. It's all, and a lot of these things seem to be pushed by quite heavy marketing, and sometimes, you know, famous people get on board as well.
Well, back to your original question, are they experts just because they're famous? Are they experts in nutrition? I'd question that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, they're famous because, you know, they might be excellent athletes or any number of reasons, but certainly not because they know about nutrition, I'm quite sure. A lot of the stuff online, it appears to be about supplements and vitamins as well. And there's a lot of advice on supplements and vitamins. I think the latest that I've seen is, oh, you need more magnesium. Everyone needs more magnesium in their diet. You must take supplements with magnesium in. Do you know, this is probably another unfair question, but have you got any idea that the statistics of how many of us take supplements or vitamin pills?
Actually, I haven't got that data to hand. I'm really sorry. No.
That's all right. Now, if I was better prepared, I would know this exactly. But because I'm old and boring, I like Witch magazine, and they've done quite a lot of work on this kind of stuff, and the figure was astounding. Like the percentage of people, certainly in the UK, that will take vitamins or supplements, and I think it was well over 50%. You know, it's just an awful lot of people. And then I also did a little bit of work, and let's see if I can find it. Actually, the value of the market in for supplements. I had it at my fingertips a moment ago, Vicky. You'll have to believe me. Let's see if I can find it. I might just have to chicken out and just say it was scarily huge. Like you wouldn't believe. It was like getting on for £1 billion a year in the UK. So it's a vast sum of money. So this is kind of big business. Are they ever suggested by GPs?
I think in terms of GPs, yes, sometimes they would recommend a nutrition supplement. I guess where probably a GP would start out, and a health professional, you know, nutrition expert, is always looking at someone's diet. You know, are they eating well? Are they getting enough from their day-to-day diet? And then I guess looking where there might be gaps or other needs. One of the vitamins that is widely recommended, and not just by GPs, but is vitamin D. And that's because we know we don't get enough vitamin D in the winter months because it's made from the sunlight on the skin. So that's actually one of those vitamins I think that everyone's very comfortable in saying, really, you should be taking a supplement in the autumn and winter, mm-hmm. and consider taking one all year round if you're particularly at risk. Perhaps you've got dark skin, you don't get outdoors, etc. So I would certainly expect GPs to be giving that advice.
Okay. Apart from that, though, I mean, it's hard to equate the massive amount of these things that are sold with how people might find out if they are low in any of these things. So, I mean, it seems to happen quite often by accident. So I can give you an example. I sometimes give blood. And before you give blood, they give you a very quick, they check the iron content of your blood. And they didn't let me give blood because my iron content was a little bit low. And they said, well, look, it's too low to give blood, but it's not low enough to be worried about and go and see your GP. But it's just sort of an example of how would you ever know if you are short on any of these things?
I think you're right. It can be confusing. And again, I guess you might look to your diet. You know, are there certain food groups that you cut out, things you're allergic to, you know, reasons why your diet's not balanced? There's a good kind of bridge there in terms of the tests that we sell at Boots and other retailers sell as well, which you can do a self-test, for example, for your iron or vitamin D. So that might be something that appeals. Mm-hmm. Equally, there are quizzes. We have a vitamin quiz online where you can kind of put in your personal goals and some information about yourself, and that can give you a list of vitamins. But it is really hard unless you've got actual sort of symptoms and signs of deficiency. It can be really hard to find what you need.
So this is another example where I can quote which magazine, because I managed to find the quote here. I was doing some rummaging around before our chat, and they wrote an article on vitamins and minerals. And here, what I'm really looking at is if people say, "Oh yeah, I'll just have a multivitamin sort of just in case, just a top up sort of thing," and it's about that really. They quoted a study of 20,000 adults, which was published in the BMJ, the British Medical Journal, in 2020. So, you know, not that recently, but 5 years ago. And so they found no difference in disease or health conditions between those who took multivitamin supplements and those who didn't. So this idea that you do hear sometimes of, oh, I'll just take some just in case. It's just kind of a bit of a waste of money, isn't it?
I think the data you're quoting, it's sort of relating to, I guess, disease and things like that. And it's actually, vitamins are not designed to be like that. A vitamin should really be just to supplement your diet, to plug those gaps. Where you're looking at, I don't know, for example, reducing your risk of heart disease, etc. I mean, that isn't really what vitamin supplements are designed for.
They do go on to say that the study did find that taking supplements could make you feel better, you know, the placebo effect. So it doesn't say, you know, it's a complete waste of time because you might end up feeling better. But some people, it doesn't say it here, will say, well, you might just end up with expensive urine.
It's a really difficult one, I think, Mike, because as I said earlier, that, you know, that less than 1% of us actually consume what's considered a healthy diet. So I think in reality, you know, you mentioned magnesium as well. We know that from national diet and nutrition surveys in the UK that 1 in 10 people get very low intakes of magnesium from their diet. Now, it's not to say they're all going to become unwell from that, but that does put them at risk of deficiency. So I think, you know, there is a reality that a lot of people do genuinely struggle to eat well and see a benefit from taking an A to Z type multivitamin and mineral supplement.
Okay. All right. Another question, which might be a bit unfair, but I'll ask it anyway. It might be directed at... might be better directed at a pharmacist. I don't know. If you've decided to, you know, self-prescribe and take some vitamins or supplements of any sort, do you need to kind of take some care? Because if you are being prescribed other drugs, by your GP or by anyone, can they kind of react together, or can the vitamins or supplements stop those drugs working quite so well?
That's also a great question, because you're absolutely right.
I do love it, Vicky, when my guests say that's a great question.
It's not an unfair question. there are, generally, I would say, you should seek advice from a healthcare professional when you're considering supplements, but that is even more the case if you've got a medical condition, you're taking any medication, because you're quite right, some medicines and supplements, they can interact together. And then there are certain life stages, like pregnancy or breastfeeding, for example, where we again would want to be really cautious, because supplements haven't been studied in that way in pregnant women, for example. So yes, you would definitely recommend folic acid, definitely vitamin D in pregnancy, but other vitamins, check with your healthcare professional, your pharmacist, your GP, whoever's accessible to you.
Yeah, yeah. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? That does get thrown around quite often. Check with your GP before doing this, before doing that. Because I would bet that most people that are taking a multivitamin of any sort do not have a chat to their GP before they start to do so. And I reckon if I went to go see my GP, because let's face it, we all know they're very busy, and said, oh, could you tell me, could I start taking a multivitamin tablet of some sort? They're not going to give me the time of day. They've got more important people to see, haven't they?
I think that's where companies like Boots, we can really help to fill a gap. I mean, you can speak to a pharmacist in one of our stores. We've also got health and wellness advisors who can give you that personalised advice. I mean, sometimes, right, yes, they will say, oh, you really need to speak to your GP about that. But in other situations, I think they can give that reassurance. I'd always emphasise reading the label. Don't think more is better. Follow the advice on the recommended amount that you should be taking a day of a supplement as well.
I'm all for people talking to pharmacists. It's something I've spoken about on this show before. I think we should make more of pharmacists. But could you go into Boots? Do you have to make an appointment, or can you just stroll in and say, right, I'd like to talk to a pharmacist about this, please?
You don't need an appointment, no, and it's free.
This is a very good takeaway from our chat, I would suggest, because presumably there's not really a queue. You can just go in and you might have to wait a few minutes, but generally speaking, the pharmacist will be able to have a chat with you pretty much straight away.
Yeah, and often they've got a private space as well where you can, talk about something more personal.
Right, and that can be anything, not nutrition, yeah, not vitamins and supplements, anything really.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, nutrition's my field, but it can be very broad.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a useful takeaway for listeners there. But apart from that, if people have been listening to this chat and thinking about supplements, nutrition of any sort, any sorts of questions, where can people go for good advice? We've been talking about some of the ridiculous and bad advice that kind of appears to be everywhere, or certainly everywhere online. Can you point out some really good, solid sources of information, good information that people can go to and know that it's correct and proper?
Yes, I mean, with respect to Boots, I'd recommend our new wellness hub online. We've got lots of information there on nutrition, on supplements. I'd also recommend the area of our website called the Health Hub, where that takes more of a health focus, so that goes into a lot of depth. I'd always recommend nhs.com as well, because they've got really good advice on supplementation. And yeah, the in-person approach, you know, we're talking about wellness today. We've just trained over 500 wellness specialists across our stores, and they're available as well for one-to-one advice.
All right. Tell us briefly before you go about them, your wellness specialists. So they're not pharmacists, but they're trained. What are they trained in? How are they trained?
They are healthcare experts. So they receive, I guess, in-depth training on our products and services, and they're accessible on, you know, in the stores, on the shop floor for you to talk to and get advice on health, wellness generally. But we provide the training for them.
All right. And again, you can just go and see them. You don't have to make an appointment.
Absolutely. You don't need an appointment. No.
Very good. All right. Look, Vicky, thank you very much indeed for taking the time to chat. It's much appreciated. And, you know, we've touched on some important topics. So many thanks.
My pleasure. No, it's been a very broad topic of conversation. So I've enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to Vicky Pennington, dietitian, for being such a fantastic guest this week. Thank you to you for listening, and have a healthy week until next week. Before I go, I want to mention a couple of things. You can join me for a cycle ride, for a static exercise bike cycle, on Tuesdays, Thursdays and Fridays at 12:30. Come and see the action and join in on my YouTube channel, which is Relax Back UK. You can also buy my book, Cut the Crap, Ask the Questions That Matter About Your Health. That is available on Amazon. And that includes lots of quotes and information from previous guests on the Relax Back UK show. And also, if you are suffering from a bad back or you're worried about your posture, please do try out the Back App chair. I'm sitting on one now. It has helped literally hundreds of people. Have a look at my website, relaxbackuk.com, for information about that. Again, thank you for listening. Bye for now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Thanks for listening to the Relax Back UK show. Join me, Mike Dilk, again next week for more fascinating interviews and chat. If you're listening to the podcast version, please subscribe, like, and share it with your family and friends. And have a healthy week. Until next week.